Hey everyone, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you're doing well. Hey, did you do your homework, as I mentioned at the end of last episode, and go and read your Bible? I gave you some verses. Did you read them? And don't lie. God's watching. No, I'm just kidding. No, I joke with my buddy Ray, who I had on the show a couple weeks ago, and we're just constantly gently poking each other and other people to read their Bible. It's almost like a punchline of ours at this point. But we always tell them, don't just read it. Read it intently. Read it with curiosity. Read it with a love, right, for learning more about God's heart. But if you did read the verses I gave you in last episode and leave it in the water, there was one that absolutely ripped apart my heart. Now, I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter here, but the verse I'm referring to is Romans 6:6. Now, Paul, writing to the body of Christ or Christians in Rome, says this: "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" Now, let's stop there for a second. Grace may increase. What he's saying here is the more we choose sin, Jesus still has enough to cover all of it. Now, more on that in a second, but let's keep going. Verse 2, "By no means, or certainly not. We're those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ," this is verse 8, "if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now he continues on and finishes this thought with, "For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace," in verse 14. Now, I know I just read a whole chunk, but this struck me to the heart because there are some sins that I tend to fall back on. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that gets these weird things in my head or in my heart or maybe see something and it kind of causes me to sin or causes me to maybe potentially sin? Now, while I'm doing this episode, I'm about a month away from the day that I was born again into Christ. So essentially, my new birthday. Now, it's been years since I was born again and rebaptized to illustrate my love for Christ, but there are some old sins that just don't like to leave me alone. It's pretty annoying. And we should leave all those sins and that dirtiness in the water. In the same way, leave that old man or old woman in the past, in the tomb or in your coffin. Now in Romans 6:6, some translations say the old man is dead. This old man he's talking about is our identities in Adam and Eve, or in the flesh, or of law, or in lineage. Adam and Eve, initially created to be immortal and eternal, went about their way, right? And lost their access to the garden. We all know this story. And then they procreated, creating many identities within this lineage, or within the law. The thing is, we inherited this sinful nature from the flesh of Adam and Eve. And with the wages of sin being death, the only way to be brought back to life is by putting the sinful nature to death. Now, if we look onto the next verse, in verse 7, Paul says that anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So Jesus did this for us. When he was up on that cross, he invited us to pin our old self, or old man, or old woman, to the cross with him. That old self then was crucified with Christ. Now for the cool part. That old self became a new self when Christ resurrected and we believed. Some of us never put to death the old self, though. Some of us still don't, even after baptism. we decided that we want to take the free gift and keep looking back at the tomb that we came from. Paul is basically saying, your old self is gone and done away with. Don't keep trying to take that old self with you. Don't keep looking back at that tomb. Don't keep looking back at that coffin. Because you have this thing called grace. Grace being free redemption from sin. And this does not give us the freedom to keep sinning or to sin more. If you continue in that same sin, it's almost like you keep stepping back into the tomb that you left your old self in. It's like this tomb or coffin so cozy and warm for you. And it's in this dark place. You want to keep going back in there. We were brought back to life by Jesus. In Jesus. And as Paul mentions, we have died with Christ. We have denied ourselves. It's no longer about me. It's all about Christ. We are raised up in Christ as new, clean creations and not mindless, fleshly, probably smelly zombies, right? Actually, I kind of like that. Zombies, I like that. Think about this. A zombie may look alive, but we know it's not. I mean, zombies aren't real, okay? So I'm being illustrative here, but just stay with me here. A zombie blindly walks or meanders aimlessly through the dark, only led by his or her flesh. A zombie almost wants to be alive, but is really not. A zombie creates more destruction than good based on its perceived wants and needs. And a zombie doesn't know what true life actually looks like. I can't believe I'm talking about zombies on this show, but here we are. Here we are. This is what 2 years of being a podcast host does to you, folks. No, but seriously, I'm not a zombie expert either. But based on the movies I've watched over the years, right, people don't seem to want to be zombies. And now, if you got bit by a zombie, you became one. Okay, but if you became a zombie, it's almost like you never really die. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sounds like what Satan said to Eve in Genesis 3:4, right? You will not certainly die. Just eat the fruit. You won't die. But we all know that this isn't good for us to be zombies. They're partially alive and partially dead. They're fleshly mammon seekers. That's all they are. But God, who's rich in mercy and grace, gave us new life, pure, true life. And at the end of Romans 6, Paul's talking about this. He talks about us who are new in Christ, to be slaves to righteousness and not our sins. He also says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, he says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We have choices, folks, where we can live carnally or by the Spirit. Paul is talking about what being carnal or of the flesh looks like here. We can now put on our new man or new selves. Leave all of that stuff behind you, all the stuff that he listed off. All those, the anger, the wrath, the malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, the idolatry, the sexual immorality, all those things, just leave them. They're all behind you now. Like I keep thinking about when Jesus called Lazarus out from his tomb and he woke from the dead. I'm going to speculate here and say that I'm sure he washed himself, right? He took off all those dirty funeral garments and moved forward knowing that he was born again. Now, I often quote Charles Spurgeon because he illustrates things so well, or he did illustrate things so well, I should say. He says this about sin and being carnal. If Christ has died for me, ungodly as I am, without strength as I am, then I cannot live in sin any longer. I must arouse myself to love and serve him who has redeemed me. I cannot trifle with the evil that killed my best friend. I must be holy for his sake. How can I live in sin when he has died to save me from it? That's so powerful right there, what Charles Spurgeon says. Sin in being carnal killed our best friend Jesus. So why hang out with it? Why associate ourselves with the thing that dies and kills and not with our Savior that causes life to happen, that gives us life? Spurgeon then says this at a different time. There, poor sinner, take my garment and put it on. You shall stand before God as if you were Christ, and I will stand before God as if I had been the sinner. I will suffer in the sinner's stead, and you shall be rewarded for works that you did not do, but which I did for you. Gosh, I love that. Jesus takes our old garments, our old selves, and he takes them to the cross. And then he puts his new, clean, white, perfect garments on us. The same way he left the old garments in the tomb, we are to leave those old garments in the tomb. When we stand before the judgment throne, we'll be seen dressed in white, in perfect clothes, in Christ. There's no need to stay in your stinky clothes in front of the seat of the judge. You are free indeed. Thank you all for joining today. Please meditate on Romans 6 and Colossians 3 today. And really read it. Really meditate on them. Go read your Bible. Read it intently. Read it with the love for Christ. Read it for wanting to gain wisdom in Christ, in who God is, and his nature, and his heart. And I have three questions for you today. Question number one, how have you been going back to your old self? Question two, have you or others been affected by you going back to your old self? And question three, how can you leave the tomb for good and seek life? I want to pray over everybody today. Just remember to leave it in the water, leave the dirtiness in the water, leave your old self in the tomb, and let's move forward in Christ. Please take your prayer posture if it's safe to do so. Our Father who's in heaven, thank you for the new garments that you put on us. We are clean. We are white. We are perfect because Christ died for us, even though we were still sinners. And he resurrected for us, even though we were still sinners. He knew this. You knew this. You knew we couldn't do it on our own, so you sent yourself to die for us so that we will never be apart from you again. We pray for our hearts to recognize this every single moment of our lives, to be appreciative, to have gratitude for everything that you've done on that cross and afterwards. We thank you for the ability to see all these things, to gain wisdom, to gain new knowledge, and be new creations. And we ask that you give us the opportunities to spread your gospel, to walk with you in spirit, and to participate with you. We want to be able to leave our old selves in the tomb, never to return to them again. To leave them there, leave them buried, leave them in the tomb, leave them in the coffin, whatever it is, just not look back and always look forward in you. And we pray that whenever we decide to maybe glance back at that tomb a little bit, that you reel us right back in. We thank you, Lord. And we ask of all this in Jesus' name. Amen.